Bears blog, boys, you know it all, computer analytic, geeky nerds. Michael Schneider, Tom Cavanaugh, the Bear blog, boys, know it alls. Doing some podcast somewhere. Nobody wants to hear you.
Boy. What? We off the grid, grid, grid. This for my kid, kid, kid. For when my kid, kid, kids have kids. Everything we did for the crib. Everything we did.
Coming to you live from our mama's basement. This is the Bears Blog Boys Podcast. I'm your co-host, Tom Cavanaugh, here with my good buddy and other co-host, Michael Schneider, on a very special day. I feel like we've done this annually, Schneider, since we started the podcast, but we are doing our mock draft for all 32 teams or all teams that are picking in the first round on based on what we would do as the GM. But before we get started, Schneider, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. I'm actually excited about this because, you know, we obviously talk about the Bears every week and it's always our main focus. But, you know, not to get it confused that we are also super tuned in across the league. Not as much as the Bears, but I think we have a good understanding on every single team situation. Pretty much we're in tune with every starter. I mean, me and you have always just analyzed every team and their team building aspect, their contracts, their draft strategies, everything. So when we do this, I think it really kind of just shows the audience how tuned in like we are league wide. And, you know, just it also displays our team building strategy, you know, as a whole.
Yeah. And Snyder, I feel like knowing all of these teams is almost like a necessity when you are mock drafting for the Bears as frequent as you are. Obviously, me and you probably go a little extreme with it by knowing as much as we know about these teams. But like, in order to project like who's going to be there at 9 or even who's going to be at the 75 for the Bears, you kind of have to understand what kind of players you expect to go before then to have a realistic idea of just who the Bears will have available to them at both of those picks. I am super excited for this as well. I love talking about just all teams, everything NFL. So the way we're going to start this off today, Schneider will actually be picking for the odd teams, meaning he will start this draft off picking number one overall for the Bears.
That's right.
So, Schneider, it's a big shocker here, but who's going to be the pick at number one overall?
This one's a no-brainer. It is Caleb Williams. He is by far the most talented quarterback in this draft class and probably the most talented quarterback we've seen since Andrew Luck. Now, is he the complete perfect prospect as Andrew Luck? No. But if you're just looking at talent and ability, yes. And, you know, he is more pro-ready than I think some people give him credit for. He works in the pocket. He works within structure. But the thing is, man, his arm talent is incredible. He has a great feel for pressure. He throws to the middle of the field with anticipation. He is the best prospect, again, since Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I love that breakdown. No-brainer there. The Bears got to go a quarterback here. I'm not really entertaining anything else. I did have a dream that they did trade the pick, but luckily it was just a dream and not a reality.
That tells us how crazy we are. I swear to you, I had a dream the other day that we took Marvin. We stayed at one and we took Marvin Harrison Jr., dude. It was nuts. I'm like, no way. Like, this is crazy. It was like a dream that – I had a similar feeling in real life when the Bears drafted Trubisky, traded up to 2. Like, that was the same feeling in that dream.
Yeah, my dream. I don't know if it was the. I don't know if it was the same feeling, but it was just like pure panic in that dream. It was like a stress nightmare.
That tells you how much this is on our mind, man.
Right. They can't screw this up. But I am picking number 2 for the Commanders. And while the idea of a Marvin Harrison Jr., who I do think is like a blue chip top 5 worthy pick in terms of grade, I do think they have to go Drake May here. I had a lot more questions about Drake May the more I watched him, but I think a lot of it is mechanics and footwork and stuff like that. He's really young too, and he has the most potential to me of this next crop of quarterbacks. And it's kind of like in 2020 when they drafted Chase Young, and they were just totally content with drafting Chase Young. When a guy like Justin Herbert, who I think had similar questions, like the consistency and stuff like that, was on the board. They prefer to go like the quote unquote blue chip prospect. But at the end of the day, you really don't know that it's going to be a blue chip prospect. And if you're not swinging at the quarterback position, you're not swinging at all, in my opinion. So I will go ahead and take Drake May here, Snyder, my number two rated quarterback.
All right, Tom, you might not like this one. The analytics might not like this one. This goes against actually a little bit of my team building philosophy, but number three for the Patriots. This is a team that is awful. At the time, they need help everywhere. Even their defensive players who are good are aging, right? Mm-hmm. I know they have a couple, Christian Gonzalez, Kyle Duggar, you know, those guys look like, you know, foundation pieces. But, man, they need a quarterback. They need offensive line. They need wide receiver help. They need it all. So, like, typically you would trade back, get a haul, and build, right? In my opinion, this is a tough one, Tom. This kind of reminds me of the Buccaneers, I want to say, in 2014 when they really didn't have anything, didn't have a quarterback, but they took Mike Evans. And he was a, you know, turned into a franchise, you know, cornerstone, will be in their, you know, Ring of Fame or whatever they call it. I am leaning toward the safe pick, the blue chip guy, the safest player in the draft, and I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I think they have another high pick. I think they have, you know, cap space to build. I'm just taking the safe guy, the face of the face of the franchise, and I'm going to build a culture with Jerod Mayo, and then I'm going to look into next year to really push into the chips to build a team.
So that's definitely fair. I mean, I think you're definitely taking the best player in the draft. And what I like about that for the Patriots is, like, I don't feel like they need to force anything because they just started a new regime. Like, Elliot Wolf, Jerod Mayo, they're just taking over. I know Robert Kraft's on the older side, so he probably is going to be the most influential if they want to do take a quarterback. But, like, what good rebuild have you seen start off with just forcing a quarterback need in such a terrible situation? Like, it usually takes time.
And then my thing is, though, Tom, this is more also an indictment on – I'm not as high as on Jaden Daniels as some others are. Yes. I think that's why I really leaned into it. It would be – I would be taking – like, if May fell there, I would take Drake May, right? Because I think May is better than Daniels. But then, you know, then it's just, you know, I'm either taking Marv – or if I get, you know, a crazy haul, you know, maybe from the Vikings that they're offering like 11, 23, and a one, because that would be similar to like the 49ers trading up for Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
If that was on the table, I would do it, maybe, but I would still be 50-50 there. So I'm just going to take in the safe guy that I'm most convicted on being the face of my franchise for many years, and I'll just let everything else, you know, fall into place.
I hear that, man. I can't really argue with that rationale. And I think it's important to remember with some of these trade ups, as we are the GMs, that you need a trading partner to trade down, right? And I don't think either of us are rushing to trade up for Jaden Daniels. However, with the Cardinals on the clock and them openly saying that pick four is for sale or that their lines will be open, I think that's kind of how they phrase it. Monty Austin Fort phrased it. For as much as we think that, you know, trading up a haul to draft the Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy maybe is something we wouldn't do, I think it's impossible to ignore, Snyder, that what the Vikings position themselves to take a quarterback in this draft. Like, they traded up from the second round to get a second first-round pick and have the capital to kind of move up. So even though it's not – entirely what we would do with that move already being done, I would feel it very disappointing if you didn't come away with this quarterback in this draft. So you're picking for the Vikings at 11. Are you interested in making a move up?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. But let me ask you, if you're the Cardinals, do you trade back, given their wide receiver group, do you risk missing one of the big three wide receivers?
It's tough, man. Because I think you would have to do what the Cardinals did last year if you want to go up and get one of those guys again. And that's what's tough. I'm probably not. Unless you offer me 3 first-round picks, then I'm not. I'm going to stay put.
Yeah, I don't think I'm offering 3-round picks to go from 11 to 4. Okay. I think I would offer you – I'd offer you 11 and 23.
Would you toss in – oh, you don't have your second next year. I can't do that, bro. I would need 3 first-round picks to make that move. So I'm going to sit here and take Malik Nabers because I think he is that damn good, and the Cardinals just desperately need a wide receiver. So I'm totally content with taking Malik Nabers here. If I trade it back, I just don't think he'll be around.
See, and that's where I was, Tom, with the Cardinals. I'm like, okay, I get the picks for sale, but given their wide receiver room, do you position yourself to miss out on the big 3? I don't think I would.
And it's important to remember, too, Snyder, is they have the most draft picks in this draft class, too. So it's not like they have, you know, they're really needing for picks. Obviously, you could always use more, especially the situation the Cardinals are in. But I also think they need to just nail picks at this point in their rebuild. And, I think sticking at 4, taking a Malik Nabers is the perfect idea of doing that. Okay, you are now on the clock for the Chargers, who I think are really looking to move out of this pick, especially if the board fell the way it did. You can kind of control a trade down if that's the route you wanted to go, Snyder.
Yes, and I am – okay, maybe I'm biased here. I am calling the Chicago Bears, and I am trying to make a trade down from 5 to 9. Tom, what do you think that costs?
I think it costs a third this year, maybe. Because I don't know. If you want to play it like this, you got to take into a fact that the Vikings are going to be on the other line, right? Like trying to
right.
move up. But they just right. try to move up to 4. So you'd have to outbid the Vikings. I think, honestly, Snyder, it'd be more realistic if the Vikings were the team that traded up here and the Bears move up to 6 with the Giants. Because
I'm with you. I think you're right. The offer that the Vikings would have here would be way more than with the Bears. I think the Vikings would be offering 11 and 23 just for 5.
Yes.
I think that's exactly what the Chargers would want there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's run that one.
Okay, we're going to
trade. I'd still be on the clock there for the Vikings.
Yes, you would.
Okay.
All right, so the Vikings have traded picks 11 and 23 for the Chargers for pick 5. Seemingly to take a quarterback, Snyder, unless you shocked the world and wanted to pair Roma Dunze, Jordan Addison, and Justin Jefferson. No.
This is where I actually like Jaden Daniels on the Vikings. So this is when I said I wasn't as high on him. I wasn't as high on him in the Patriots situation. The Vikings, now with the Kirk Cousins contract off their books, actually have a good situation. I mean, you have Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver in football. Jordan Addison, first-round pick. TJ Hockenson, a good offensive line. They made investments on their defense, and you know, given his rushing ability, given that he has, you know, 3 separators, really good pass catchers, he's going to be in a situation where he doesn't need to put the team under the back. It's a beautiful situation for him to develop. I mean, you see what Kevin O'Connell did with just Joshua Dobbs last year and other guys. So this is a ideal situation for a Jaden Daniels type of prospect. Now, Jaden Daniels has traits. I think he still has a lot to develop. Easier things, that kind of reminds me of how Justin Fields was at, but this is a way better situation than most quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels enter into.
I totally agree. I mean, this is the Vikings would have, or they do have, one of the best situations. So, I like that rationale, Snyder. And I think from a PR standpoint, it kind of saves face for the Vikings as well. Okay, the Giants are now on the clock. And for as much as They do need a wide receiver. I do also think the Giants just need more players. Like, their team is just not very good. And I get it, man. Like, wide receiver is a glaring need on this team. Rome Odunze makes a ton of sense, Snyder, but I am willing to move down here from 6 to 9 if you sweeten the deal enough for me.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm offering it for sure. I am going from 9. I give you 2 next year.
All right, that's a deal. I'll take it. Actually, hold on. I'll take your 3rd next year and your 3rd this year, because I want picks this year. Like, I'm Joe Shane. I'm Brian Daboll. My seat's a little warm. I can't really wait around until next year. So if you give me 2 3rd-round picks this year and next, then I'm willing to move back.
I do. That's a deal.
Okay.
3 and 3.
I will find the Bears in this long list of teams. All right, the Bears have moved up to 6, and Snyder, you are on the clock again.
I am taking a Dunze there. I'm running to the podium. The thing is, I mean, we don't know we don't even know if Keenan Allen will be on the Bears next season, right? He has 1 year remaining on his contract. You hope there's an extension there, but even with an extension, Tom, Rome Odunze being your wide receiver 3 is one of the best groups in the NFL. You know, Shane Waldron was with the Seahawks last year, right? They had DK Metcalf. They had Tyler Lockett, right? And while they did eat up a majority of the snaps, JSN still had about 800 snaps. He was a contributor, right? And he looks like to be the long-term piece once Tyler Lockett isn't there. It seems like the same situation. And the thing is, Tom, injuries happen in the NFL, right? If DJ Moore is banged up for a game, Keenan Allen's banged up for a game, I'd rather have Rome Odunze slide in as my wide receiver 2 than Tyler Scott, right? I mean, you feel a lot better about that situation. And we always argue, Tom, that we feel like, you know, wide receiver is the most important position in the NFL outside the quarterback room, just the way the game is designed, right? You know, the route, the way it's officiated, it favors the wide receiver, and it's an extension of the quarterback. Why not, you know, give this to Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think it's so important to sign in the future, right? Because, like, we love the Keenan Allen move. I'm making that move 10 times out of 10. But the reality is he's 32 years old. He only has 1 more year left on his deal. Even if you extend him, like, how long do you really think Keenan Allen's going to be sticking around?
Right.
And if you're picking this high in the draft, you're hopefully never picking this high again, and you're not going to have an opportunity to draft this good of a prospect. I think Odunze is the clear 3 of the top trio, but he's still so much farther ahead than anybody you can get. Like, the projection is just so clean. Film's great. The numbers, projection's great, and the athleticism's great. He is a round 1 slam dunk wide receiver, which is why I think that's totally justified here, Snyder. You're trying to do everything you can to make Caleb Williams work, to make sure he succeeds, which is why I love that pick and that move of aggressiveness to move up and grab him. But Snyder, you are actually on the clock again for the Tennessee Titans here at 7.
Yeah, this one's a no-brainer, Tom. The pick is Joe Alt. Titans have done a lot to surround their quarterback with talent. I mean, defense, they got Jarius Sneed, Chidobe Awuzie. They just made a ton of moves there, but offensively, you know, they have DeAndre Hopkins. They just signed Calvin Ridley. They signed Tony Pollard. You know, they drafted Skoronski at left guard. They also signed Lloyd Cushenberry. I mean, why not just put Joe Alt there on the left side, really kind of shore up everything there?
I totally hear you. I mean, it's probably the easiest pairing in this. Besides Caleb Williams to the Bears, it is probably the easiest draft pick you can make, because it's a glaring need. Best tackle in the draft. Boom. Match made in heaven. Center, I am picking for the Falcons here, and they've done a pretty good job of filling their needs this offseason. I think they're honestly in a good spot to trade. I think trade down. I think any defensive player here is a bit of a reach. And I'm looking for a team like the Broncos, who I was never – I don't want – for the sake of the Broncos and the Broncos fans, I have a follower, a mutual follower that I talk to all the time. He's a big Broncos fan. For the sake of him, I do not want them to be super aggressive for a quarterback, because kind of like the Patriots, I don't think they're anywhere close from like being a quarterback away from anything. But this is a good spot. I think they can take a chance on a quarterback right here. They're only moving up from 12 to 8. So I'm going to facilitate a trade here. And I'm going to trade their second-round pick next year, because they don't have a second-round pick this year, unfortunately, to move up with the Falcons from 12 to 8 to take J.J. McCarthy, which I really love that pairing of Sean Payton with McCarthy. If I like – what McCarthy can be. I like his upside. I just think wherever he lands is going to be super important. The coaching he gets is going to be super important. And I think Sean Payton makes a ton of sense in that regard, who can really get the most out of him. And I think he's going to really like McCarthy as well. So I'm going to trade pick 12 and the 2025 set. Pick 12, their 2025 round 2 pick, to move up to pick 8. And I'm going to go ahead and force this trade. So now the Broncos are picking at 8 to draft Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Center, what do you think about that trade up?
No, I like it. It was, you know, wasn't breaking the bank for him. But, you know, your second round pick to get, you know, your potential franchise quarterback who does have traits. Is a winner, knows how to run, you know, a system. So I have no issue with that. My issue always been, if you're taking J.J. McCarthy, I wouldn't trade 2 round 1 picks.
Yeah, if you're making the Trey Lance, if you're paying the Trey Lance price, that's where I get a little hung up.
Exactly how I felt.
All right, so the Broncos kind of lucked out there. They don't have to roll into the season with just Jared Stidham, and I think that's always a win. So now I'm back on the clock for the Giants, who again traded down with the Bears. Center, I'm going to go ahead and pick Brock Bowers here because I think it makes a ton of sense, right? I know tight end here might be a little rich in the top 10, but they wanted Darren Waller to kind of be their move guy, their number one target. And I think he's just cooked like at this point of his career. And, you know, they have Mike Kafka, who was with the Chiefs as their quarterback coach. I think they kind of wanted to resemble a Chiefs type offense where they're tight end led things. You get Brock Bowers to do that. One of the best tight end prospects we've ever seen. I think he makes a lot of sense because he can play outside receiver. He can play in the slot. He can play tight end. He kind of is a do it all elixir for a team that just doesn't have a lot at the pass catcher.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with it, Tom. I mean, he is a complete guy. He, you know, he forces missed tackles. He is insane with the ball skills, incredible athlete. They need what I say is just offensive weapons. And, you know, he's arguably one of the best offensive weapons in the entire draft class.
That's what I was thinking. So now the Jets here are at pick 10, Snyder. And I think Bowers was a really popular pick for them. But since he's gone, I kind of just like ensuring tackle for them, making sure that Tyron Smith is probably going to get hurt. And I want to do everything I can to make sure Aaron Rodgers works. So I'm going to go Olufoshano here, the best pass protecting tackle in this class, in my opinion, Snyder. I think they really got to ensure that their offensive line stays healthy, because if it doesn't, like it did last year, I mean, Aaron Rodgers could get hurt again.
You know, I like that one, Tom. I have no issue with that. Okay. Chargers here. This is an interesting one. I know they want to build the trenches, Tom.
They do want to build the trenches. I mean, Jim Harbaugh thinks about it every night.
But this is what I would do. It's rich.
I mean, the nice thing about the Chargers, Snyder, is that they can use literally everything. Like, their roster is just not very good.
You're right.
I think.
All right, Tom, I'm doing a shocker here. I think I'm going to take Drazon Newton. I think I'm going to pair it up with Bosa, Khalil Mack, and, you know, we still have pick 23 to where maybe I want to address my other ones at more of that sweet spot. I'll take Johnny Newton. He is just a technician. The film is awesome. I have no problem taking him there, Dom.
I have no problem either. I'm extremely high on Jerzon Newton. He's probably going to slide into my DT. My biggest concern with him was his size, and he's honestly the same size as Byron Murphy. One of the best hand technicians we've seen in the position ever come out, in my opinion. He is a great prospect. I think he's getting severely slept on. I know some of that's injury related, but I just don't know why he's not being talked in like the top 15 anymore. He started off the season that way, and if he had a good season, like he had a really good season, and I don't know why his hype got died down. I think it's just been prospect fatigue. So I think that is totally a justified pick. Center, take the best player available, and he's one of them for sure. So the Falcons are now on the clock at 12 from the trade down with the Broncos. I think this is where you take a Dallas Turner. Latu is probably going to end up as my edge one because he did check some of those testing boxes. But after hearing Winnie City Gridirons, Mason West talk about Latu's injury and the surgery that he got, it just doesn't sound like he's going to have a very long career in the NFL. So I would not be shocked if he fell out of the first round entirely. Just because that injury is that big of a red flag. So my next guy on my board at edge would be Dallas Turner, and I think he does make a lot of sense for the Falcons.
I like that there, Tom. This is an interesting one. The Raiders, when I look at their secondary, Tom, I don't know anyone.
It's bad. It's really bad.
It's bad. But I don't know, Tom. Do I go for the need? Or, you know, they just signed Christian Wilkins. They have Max Crosby. I know they used a round one pick on Tyree Wilson, but he's not really stopping me, right? Do I strengthen a defensive line or do I go for the need?
I think Quinyon Mitchell is just like such a perfect fit for what they do schematically. He's a zone corner. They're, you know, Patrick Graham, very zone heavy team, like too high safety team. I think he makes Quinyon Mitchell specifically. He's like a playmaking corner that makes a ton of sense for them.
Yeah, they need that, man. Given their division, I mean, defensive line should be solid. They need a game changer there.
Yeah, I think that's the one that makes the most sense for me. When you're looking at the Saints, it's got to be offensive tackle. Ryan Ramczyk might retire. I think J.C. Latham is the best tackle available, and I'm going to draft J.C. Latham here because they just need to keep Derek Carr upright. Okay, Snyder, you are on the clock for the Colts here, which they're heartbroken. The Raiders just took Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, Tom, I mean – I always lean cornerback here at this pick. I know they just locked up Kenny Moore, their slot dude. Who's the guy they drafted last year, the other outside corner?
Juju Brents.
Yeah. And I think they just need one more, like CB1, Tom. Would you go Cooper DeJean or Tyrion Arnold here?
I think they would go DeJean because, you know, Chris Ballard is a traits guy. And for as exciting Tyrion Arnold is, he didn't test very athletically, whereas Cooper DeJean is a great athlete. I think Cooper DeJean also provides maybe more versatility.
That's where I'm going, Tom.
Yeah, I'm thinking in kind of like the Chris Ballard mold. He just makes a lot of sense. The Seahawks, one of the hardest teams to pick for, Snyder. I have no idea what to do. And honestly, I'm not the biggest Talisse Fuaga guy at tackle. I don't think he has necessarily like the movement skills or length to stay at tackle. But at guard, I think he can be an absolute ass kicker. And they desperately need guards. I think they lost like their entire interior offensive line this past offseason. So I'm actually going to go with him. Yeah, I think he's a great fit.
Okay, Tom.
This is a good one, too. I have no idea where you're going to go here. I think corner makes a ton of sense for them. For the Jags, sorry. Sorry if we didn't announce it. The Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. I think corner makes a ton of sense. They could use a receiver, even though I think it's kind of rich here. And then a pass rusher, like if that's where you wanted to go. Because for, you know, as athletic as Trayvon Walker is, kind of like what you were saying about Tyree Wilson, he's not stopping me from upgrading that position.
Right. Oh, Tom, let me go. Hold on. This is a weird pick, man.
It is a very weird pick. The Bengals are hoping and praying you do not take one of the players that are on the board.
So they have Trayvon Walker.
Josh Allen.
Who wasn't good.
Yeah, who has not been good.
They just signed Arik Armstead.
Mm-hmm. I think corner is like the biggest glaring need because they're starting Ronald Darby on one side.
True.
And honestly, I don't mean to, you know, sway your thoughts at all, but Terrion Arnold played some in the slot. They need a slot corner as well. I think he kind of gives you that versatility to where you can play your best three. He kind of makes sense.
All right. Tom, I'm going a little bit on my own thing here.
Okay.
I love strengthening defensive line here, and I'm going to go with Byron Murphy. I think I'm going to pair him up with Josh. I'm pairing him up with Josh Allen. I'm pairing up with Arik Armstead, Byron Murphy, and then, you know, Trayvon Walker, if he could just kind of be my motor guy and give me flashes. I think that helps the secondary more than, you know, actually drafting a cornerback there.
The Bengals are absolutely heartbroken. That's who they wanted at the board, on the board. And Snyder, I totally understand that rationale. The Jags, I feel like, actually took their defensive line seriously this year. And to add kind of another pass rushing type, like, they could be a dominant front three, because I don't think Trayvon Walker is very good. But, man, so now the Bengals pick gets a lot tougher. Maybe they could be looking to trade down. I'm looking at teams that could possibly want to trade up. And I don't really see one that I love here. I feel like interior defensive line is their biggest quote unquote need. But other than that, I feel like they're pretty well rounded. Like, they don't really have any real, real true needs. But if we're picking here, Snyder, man, I like Amarius Mims, the best of the tackles left, but I don't think he has guard versatility. Like, that would be nice. So maybe I kind of like Troy Fontenot, as you can play him at guard right away and then maybe kick him out to tackle eventually. I think he can get on the field more so than Mims right away. And maybe even play center. Like, I kind of like him at center. So I think I'm going to go Troy Fontenot here, even though I don't love it per se. All right, you're picking on the board for the Rams at 19.
All right, Tom. I think I know who I want here. I'm just double checking. Okay, Tom, I am taking Jared Verse right here. I am going with the guy who I think just hits the ground running. He is what he is. He's a safe pick, and he helps, you know, a defense where you can't really name too many of their starting players.
That's totally fair. And I think he's a perfect complement to what they have in Byron Murphy. So, yeah, yep. I'm with you there. For the Steelers, again, another team that's in a weird spot. They really need another wide receiver. I do think wide receiver, though, is just a little rich here. I think I'm going to go Terrion Arnold. He's a man-to-man corner. They love to run a bunch of man-to-man. They're starting Dante Jackson. Not great. I think I'm going to go Terrion Arnold here.
All right. This is a tough one, Tom. What's their most glaring need?
Interior offensive line, which is where I think this is the range to start getting those guys. And then interior defensive line, which they're the top two guys are gone. So I don't really see that in the cards here. I think it's really interior offensive line.
Do you take the center?
So that's the nice thing about Jackson Power Johnson. He can play guard. I really like Graham Barton, who I think will be a guard in the NFL. He's listed as a tackle here for Duke. I think he'll move inside. I think he makes a ton of sense for them. He's really athletic. Their scheme kind of requires very athletic.
I have no problem going offensive line there.
And he can play center too. That's the nice thing about Graham Barton. Like,
for sure. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. The Eagles are interesting here. I think they'd love to take Amarius Mims. They always kind of love to have guys in the pipeline, and Lane Johnson, you know, he's getting up there. But should I just like totally stack their defensive line? I know I just said Latu's probably not going to have a long career. I don't think the Eagles really care. Like, I think they just want like the best defensive lineman for as long as they have it. But I don't know. He's not really the type they need. They already have kind of like a lot of pass rushing types, which I know you can never have enough passers. I think I'm going to go with Amarius Mims here just to have that future tackle waiting in the wings. That seems very Howie Roseman to put on my analytics cap here.
Well, and top of the, him being a Georgia guy.
That's another a huge plus for them.
All right, so I'm up for the Chargers again, and I took Johnny Newton. I mean, I'm going to ask you, Tom, who's the best run blocking offensive lineman here?
Oh, man. The Chargers are devastated that Amarius Mims just went off the board.
Yeah.
I don't really love Jackson Powers Johnson, maybe, I guess. Yeah, I would say probably Jackson Powers Johnson, and they kind of need a center, honestly.
Yeah, what else would you go there, Tom? I mean,
I think corner is a glaring need for them. I don't know if they love Nate Wiggins because he's so small, he's so slight, but I mean, Nate Wiggins is in coverage is shows a lot, in my opinion. They could also, you know, go one of these receivers as well. Like, if they wanted to start that run, I think this is when these guys are going to start to go.
Damn, this is a tough one, Tom. I don't like their team, man.
I know. It's bad. It's really bad. I think receiver's fair here, Snyder, if that's
– I mean, you know who I would take. Well, I don't know if I love – I would take A.D. Mitchell.
That's who I'd take.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, let's do it. I mean, put him in with a good quarterback. It might unlock him. I just
I don't know
about
who Harbaugh is going to love.
That's the thing. I just worry about the coaching there.
But if you're looking at – I'm doing my receiver rankings right now, and, like, the thing I keep telling myself is, like, if you're looking for a guy to turn into a wide receiver one, I just – I don't know who else that is but A.D. Mitchell. Like, he has the talent. He shows the most reps to lead to lead me to believe that he could be a wide receiver one because he has the talent,
right,
which is why I prefer him more so than Brian Thomas, who doesn't really show those reps. So, yeah, he's my number four guy, and they desperately need a wide receiver, so I don't hate it. All right, I'm here picking for the Cowboys, and I could reach for an offensive tackle because they need an offensive tackle, but I won't do that. I'm going to take Jackson Powers Johnson here. He can play guard. He can play center, and they just kind of need offensive linemen here, so I'm going to take him.
Not bad.
All right, you are picking for the Packers, Snyder, who I think could use a corner. You know, they could use a tackle.
Yeah, I would go Kool-Aid McKinstry here.
Okay. That's good. That's a good pick. Good fit, too. I am picking for the Buccaneers, and I'm going to go Latu here. I think Latu should come off the board. I get it. He's not probably going to have a long career in the NFL. That next fusion surgery is very, very scary. But he's the best pure pass rusher in this class. And for a team like the Buccaneers, I think they could obviously they can use a huge upgrade at edge, but I think they can – Jason Light has enough cachet to kind of make this pick. So I'm going to go Latu there.
Gotcha. No, I like that, Tom. I mean, the thing is, it's kind of like my lot. Like, if there was – the medicals weren't there, he'd go so much higher, right?
He'd be because, a top 15 pick, no
exactly,
doubt.
Because edge, you know, it's one of the smoothest transitions from college to the pros. You know, you just got to – do basically the same thing, you know, beat the man in front of you, be a technician. You check so many boxes athletically, right? So it's just, you know, normally I would take him so much higher, Tom, but if you can get, even if you get 4 good years out of him, I mean, that's a home run pick, Tom, because he should make an impact immediately.
And I feel like that if your thought process is like you're only going to get 4 years, this is kind of the range you're going to start trying to take that. Like, I don't think you're going to take that in the top 15 when those guys are supposed to be like building block pieces of your roster. Like, for as good as I think Latu is and can be, I just don't ever think he'll be considered a building block if that's how long his career is, unfortunately.
All right, Tom, let me ask you, am I crazy here? Do I pair up the LSU teammates?
I don't love Brian Thomas here, to be honest. I just don't love Brian Thomas in general. Like, I have a handful of receivers over him. Like, I'd probably go Ladd before I go Brian Thomas, but I wouldn't hate it. Like, I think that would be a perfect situation for Thomas because he'd probably be just a deep threat in that receiving core, which is what he needs to be. But I really like Nate Wiggins here. They desperately need corner help. I think he's probably the best player available. But I don't know, Stan, it's your pick. You do what you got to do.
This is another situation, Tom, where I hate the Cardinals roster. I truly do. Man.
It's bad. It's really bad. I'm just looking at players. Yeah, it's not great.
Tom, would you call me crazy if I'm calling the Patriots? I think they have, what is it, pick 35 or something like that?
And they traded up for a QB?
And they traded up for Penix.
I was thinking about that for the Bills with the Raiders. But I like that for the Patriots.
I want that for the Patriots. I think I would just send pick 35, and I would send a round two pick next year.
I don't think it costs that much. I think you'd only have to trade like a third round pick.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Even so, that's what I would do it. And, you know, let him sit behind Brissett. You have Marvin in front of him there. You know, why not? I mean, you know, depending how the season goes, that would have stopped me from drafting the quarterback. But at least this season, or, you know, if it doesn't go that way, you still have an intriguing prospect.
Yeah, I like that, honestly. Okay, yeah, the Patriots are now on the clock. You're going to go ahead and draft Michael Penix, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Michael Penix sneaks his way into the first round. Wow, the Bills here are devastated. They really wanted Adonai Mitchell. Maybe should have been a little bit more aggressive to pursue him, but it is what it is. For as much as I love Ladd McConkey, they already have like three slot receivers. Like, I don't know slot receivers, but like that kind of type. Cause I think Ladd McConkey is more than a slot receiver. But so I don't really see the sense there. I honestly didn't love Troy Franklin's. Dude, Troy Franklin is like one of the most, the hardest receivers to figure out because I didn't love his tape. I don't love his athletic profile because he's an outside wide receiver, but he's small. But the production is undeniable. I mean, he's only 21 years old and has as good of a production as Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. So, like, do I just trust the model here and ride with Troy Franklin? I definitely like him more than Brian Thomas.
Troy Franklin's a baller, dude. I mean, like, the eye test you could use here, you like his production. I don't hate the Troy Franklin pick at all, especially when you team him up with Josh Allen.
Yeah. You know what, Snyder? I'm gonna stay true to my board. I'm gonna go Chop Robinson here, who I know that's devastating for the Lions, but I think he has the most pass rush upside of any of the guys available here. And they wanted that type in Von Miller. Obviously, I think Von Miller is just kind of cooked at this stage of his career. Who better to learn from for Chop Robinson than a Von Miller? And you don't really need him to be anything else but a pure pass rusher as it currently stands. So I'm going all in on the defensive line there for the Bills.
I like that, Tom. I mean, they need the wide receiver, but best player available there.
They have 11 draft picks, so they could really hammer out wide receiver as it goes on.
Absolutely. I mean, they need a retool. They just need the new flush of young players. Tom, I think would you go Nate Wiggins here?
Yeah, I go Nate Wiggins.
Yeah, here. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think that's where both come
off the board, dude. He needs to come off the board.
I mean, they just lost their cornerback, I believe.
They did.
Something going on with Donald.
Yes, they did. He got arrested. Someone was arrested.
Right, okay, all right.
Yeah, he got arrested. Senator, I think this is actually a good spot for a Brian Thomas or Troy Franklin. Again, I love Ladd McConkey much more than both, but I think Ladd McConkey is too similar to Zay Flowers. And I think they kind of do need like an outside vertical receiver. So I am going to go Troy Franklin here. I'm going to trust the model over a Brian Thomas. Oh, Jordan Morgan too? This is tough, actually. A lot harder than I thought.
You know where I would go. You know what I lean to.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think I can wait on receiver, though. That's the thing. Like, I don't love the offensive line class. I get Christian Hayes. I'll go receiver here. I'll pull Michael Snyder, and I will draft Troy Franklin.
I like it.
All right. You are now on the clock for the Niners.
I'm going to go Tyler Guyton here.
Dude, I love that. I think Tyler Guyton is the most intriguing developmental tackle in the draft.
Athletic dudes. You got a guy like Purdy who can distribute that ball quick. I mean, you have Shanahan there. I mean, you have Trent Williams there you can learn from. I am definitely going offensive line for the 49ers.
And that makes my pick super easy at 32. The best pairing, I'm dreaming for this pairing on draft day. Ladd McConkey, you are a Kansas City Chief. And that is our first round mock draft. I will read it off for the people. So we, to start this mock draft off, we had the Bears taking Caleb Williams, number one overall. Then the Commanders taking Drake May. Snyder then took Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Patriots at number three. I took Malik Nabers for the Cardinals at four. Snyder traded up from 11 to 5 to take Jaden Daniels for the Vikings. He also traded up with the Giants with the Bears to take Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington, at six. Then, you know, the most chalkiest pick in the mock draft, Joe Alt to the Titans at seven. The Broncos trade up from 12 to 8 with the Falcons to take Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. The Giants from the trade down at 9 take Brock Bowers. The Jets take Olu Fashanu. The Chargers at 11 from the trade down with the Vikings take Jerzon Newton, the Illinois defensive tackle. The Falcons at 12 take edge Dallas Turner from Alabama. The Raiders take cornerback Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. The Saints take tackle J.C. Latham from Alabama. The Colts take white cornerback, Cooper DeJean from Iowa. At 16, the Seahawks take Talise Fuaga to play him at guard. Then at 17, the Jags take snipe the Bengals and take Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas. The Bengals then take Troy Fontano, the versatile offensive lineman from Washington. And the Rams take Florida State edge Jared Verse at 19. The Steelers take cornerback Terrion Arnold from Alabama. The Dolphins then select Graham Barton, the versatile offensive lineman from Duke. The Eagles keep the pipeline running and take Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia. The Chargers take Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas, which is kind of controversial that we have him going this high. Jackson Powers Johnson, the interior offensive lineman from Oregon, then goes to Dallas. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback from Alabama, goes to the Packers. Laiatulatu, his fall stops here with the Buccaneers, and he will get taken at 26 overall. Then a shocker of such, as the Patriots trade back into the first round with the Cardinals to select quarterback from Washington, Michael Penix. The Bills, even though with a big need at wide receiver, stay true to their board and take Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State. The Lions at 29 take Nate Wiggins. The Ravens at 30 take wide receiver from Oregon, Troy Franklin. The Niners take tackle Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. And then to finish the round one mock draft, the Chiefs take Georgia wide receiver Ladd McConkey. Senator, what do you think about this mock draft? I actually love it.
No, I love it, Tom. It makes a lot of sense for a lot of teams. Ladd McConkey to the Chiefs is a steal. I mean, come on. Going back to the Bears, though, Caleb Williams and Odunze, a lot of fans would want to sit at 9 and see what happens there. But no, I ensure my long-term wide receiver to pair up with DJ Moore can sit under the wings for Keenan Allen for a year or two. And it just rounds up, Tom, one of the best wide receiver rooms, on paper at least, in the NFL that could potentially be the best. in the NFL as a whole.
I totally agree. I'd be absolutely stoked if this was the Bears Hall, even though they'd only be picking like three times, I believe. I don't really care. I want them to get the quarterback right, and I want to get them the wide receiver of the future. But yeah, man, I really liked us kind of going through each pick and explaining the thought process there. I thought this was a very fun exercise, even though we'll have to save this mock draft. I don't think it will be anything close to what happens on draft day.
Yeah, definitely put it in our archives, Tom. But I think we're close, Tom. I mean, another thing, this is what we would do. The NFL does think very differently than the fans and the consensus. They always go more so like positions of scarcity, and that's, you know, the defensive line. So if I had to expect the biggest change from our draft board, it would be some of the defensive linemen going earlier.
Yeah, and I think teams are going to be a lot more aggressive for some of the quarterbacks than we might have had it. But again, this is what we would do, like you said. Right. I think that's going to be it for us. I think on the next episode, my receiver rankings will be finalized. So I'm really excited to dive into those with the people and with you, Snyder. But other than that, I think that's going to be it for us. We're going to sign off here. So keep it real. Bear down.
Bear down.
Doing some podcast somewhere. Nobody wants to hear you.